Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Loveline with Dr. Chris starts.
3, 2, 1.
Now.
All right, here we go. It's time for liftoff. We got a big packed show for you tonight. We're going to be sitting down later with Amaya Scott, model, actress, and author. We'll be talking about her new book, Memoirs of a Mermaid. I love breaking down people's writing, what they write about, how they write, why they write. It's always interesting to understand someone's motivations around that. Also, our question of the night is up on our Loveline IG page. And tonight's question is, how important are political views when it comes to dating? So hit us up on our Love and IG page, follow us and answer that. We'll break that down later in the show. And as always, our question of the night. And later, we're also going to be talking about how to divorce-proof your marriage. So you definitely want to stick around for that one. all right, so let's unpack what's going on in the news in sex, gender, relationships, et cetera, et cetera. We're trying to keep you guys ahead of the curve. Oh, and as always, the phone lines are open, 833-LOVE-001. 833-LOVE-001. Your thoughts, questions, you can talk out these topics with me. And Amaya Scott will be on in our next segment. So you can call and ask her some questions too. I thought this was a really interesting story. I reported on this a while back that in South America, there were three people, a throuple, that was married. One of them has passed away. And a court in Colombia, where they live, has granted two of the husbands from that polyamorous relationship the split pension of their late partner. So what does this really mean? It means the legal recognition of diversity of relationality. Gotta love that. Gotta love that, right? We're at a time where people are finally honoring love, but more importantly, the decisions of adults. The consensual decisions of adults to date or marry as many people as they choose. The idea you can only pick one person is not fair, not ethical, and also not honest. You can choose more than one. People often choose more than one, and they should get the same recognition as those who just pair it up. So more of that to come. I love tracking stuff like that. And also just following up on legal shifts and changes, in our culture that are more honoring of diversity, MasterCard is now going to allow transgender people to use their chosen name, a.k.a. their real name, a.k.a. their current name, a.k.a. their actual name, a.k.a. psychological health, like as it should be. We shouldn't be forcing people to use their dead names on their identification or their credit cards. But I love this. I think this is phenomenal because studies constantly show, well, we don't even have to look at studies, but to have recognition publicly of who you are is really important psychologically. And looking at the research, you know, there's something very shaming, psychologically damaging in having to use a name that is not applicable to you or quote unquote dead to you when you're trying to purchase something, trying to explain why maybe your identification and your credit card had two different names, maybe trying to explain why your gender presentation doesn't look like that of your identification or the name on your card. It's a mess. I remember, how many years ago was this? 5 years ago? Six, maybe like about 5 or 6 years ago, I was going on vacation with a group of friends. We were leaving the country, and one of my really good friends, she's an actress, Jocelyn DeFries. She's on a show called Strange Angel on CBS streaming. So congrats to her on that. But she's trans, and her identification was her dead male name and picture. And we went through a lot of hoops and obstacles getting her on the airplane, getting her through customs, trying to explain to the customs agents who weren't necessarily speaking English that they could understand, her trying to explain her gender. It was shocking. It was distressing. It was really upsetting. So anyway, MasterCard, props to you. I'm hopeful that other credit card companies will follow suit behind you. Also, just looking at what's going on in the world in terms of positivity, Portland restaurants. I love this. So a lot of restaurants in cities will do restaurant week and they'll donate money. Well, Portland is using theirs to raise funds for reproductive rights. So responding to recent state-level restrictions on abortion access in different states in America, more than 24 Portland restaurants are going to take part in Dining Out for Reproductive Justice, which is going to be a fundraiser to promote access to safe and legal abortions. I love that. Come on, LA, we got to get in on that. That's really, really, really beautiful. And you go online, look at the list of restaurants that are participating. That's phenomenal. It's beautiful. And as always, I love it when we give a big old FU to Trump and his administration. California State Capitol is flying a rainbow, a rainbow flag, defying Trump's administration, which they were told not to, but good old Governor Gavin Newsom, handsome, handsome man, says that we're going to do it anyway. And in doing so, we're going to send a really clear message that equality is important. So I love that on the Capitol building. You got to see the photos of it flying up there under the American flag. Nothing more American than that. This is actually the first time in our state's history that the Pride flag's been up there. A lot's happening in terms of LGBTQIA rights and movement. It's like fast and furious. I love being around for this. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to have Amaya Scott talk about her new book, Memoirs of a Mermaid. You are listening to Love Line with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Love Line
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. We got our question of the night up on our Loveline IG page. So weigh in on that. We'll be breaking that on down later in the show. But more importantly, we've got Amaya Scott back on the show, model, actress, and now we're going to focus on the author part. Amaya, it's so good to have you back.
Hey, Dr. Chris. Thank you so much for having me back.
Yeah, thank you so much. So as I was sitting here looking at your bio, it's stunningly overwhelming how much you're doing. I was looking at you're partnering with Suave and PFLAG. You're launching Amaya Beauty. And you thought you might as well also just start a foundation as well called the Transgender Empowerment of America Foundation.
Yes, it's actually T. And I really, really like the name because I felt like it related to my everyday life and the terms that we use.
Right.
But I'm just so excited, you know, like I felt like now was the time. And I'm just really looking forward to everything.
Well, congratulations on the book, Memoirs of a Mermaid. And flipping through, looking at the concepts and the themes of the book and just kind of doing research around it, kind of like your life where you're doing everything, in the book you're kind of sharing everything. So was there anxiety knowing that this is printed and off in the world?
Yes, totally. My biggest hesitation doing it at first. No, I'm being honest because it's something that I've been working on for years now. But my biggest hesitation was the vulnerability. For me to be so exposed, I think that it made me nervous.
Yeah.
But towards the end of the process, it turned into being slightly like liberating, you know? Lee Daniels, who wrote the foreword, he was the one who actually told me that by me being as true and as raw as I could be, it would help other people, you know?
Oh, 100%. Because, you know, you talk about love, you talk about sex, drugs, domestic violence, but it looks like the overarching theme of the entire book is, and this is kind of a quote from the write-up, but living courageously the life that you're meant to live, which is often outside the box and outside the norm.
I think as people, we have the choice to be like who we want to be. And I think in the world today, we tell people to be themselves, but then we tell them not that way.
Right.
And I've just always chosen to be myself. And I had to go through trials and tribulations and certain things to find myself. But I would hope that kind of was the bigger story of what the book told, was me finding myself in the end.
And discovering your truth. That was a word that keeps coming up a lot as well. So, you know, this is Loveline. So let's zero in on this one piece specifically, your quest for love. Tell us about that. How's that quest going, Amaya?
So I'm kind of like a hopeless romantic, but I've
good.
Learned, yes, it's good, but it also makes me very vulnerable. And I've learned to love myself, you know, like I learned that I was enough. So though I still may be on the quest for love, I think that I'm taking my time when I do it. Because I've been in a few situations, as I share in the book, that didn't really end with the happily ever after, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm just taking my time with it.
So would one find, I mean, again, this is always funny to me, people that are celebrities, but would one find you on the apps, or are you one of those old school traditionalists?
Yeah, one would have to meet me in person.
We can't find a MyScott on Tinder.
It's no Tinder. I'm on Twitter and Instagram, and I do have a Snapchat, but I rarely use it, but that's about it.
Okay. I support that.
Facebook.
I support that for you. We still get calls for you in the studio. Did your PR tell you that? Like, literally,
no.
We still, you were on the show, well, what was it, 2 months ago, 3 months ago? I don't even remember. We still will get calls. Hey, is Amaya Scott there? Nope.
Oh my God.
She's not back in yet.
I'm so happy to be back, and thank you so much for having me, Dr. Chris.
I love your work. I think not only are you an amazing person, you're so humble. And you definitely preach this, you know, component of compassion and care. But I also love the fact that you do live your truth. And also just not even just that, but like the representation. I mean, you're everywhere. So I wonder where people like you find time to sleep. It inspires me. So now that you've bared your entire soul to the entire world forever and can take nothing back, I mean, what do you do next? Is there like another level of vulnerability for you? Or is it just about you kind of now maintaining all the projects that you have going?
So I'm being like honest because you never really know what's going to happen. And you know that I'm a girl who likes to work. But I think right now I just kind of want to relax. I want to enjoy myself. Like, it's not to the point where I'm not doing anything because I always like to. But I just kind of want to take a moment for myself and enjoy the person that I've become and that I've grown into, you know?
Yeah, you work hard. You get to take time off from that. So what do you do for downtime? Like, what is your version of, I'm not working right now, I'm doing self-care, downtime, what would we see you doing?
So I sleep, because you know that sleeping is rare.
That's right.
But I just like to chill at home. Sometimes I cook, sometimes I just hang with my friends, you know? But we rarely have those moments now with all of us working, so it's just to enjoy the little things.
Oh, I love that. Especially the cooking piece. That's something I've got to try to get myself into. I don't find any pleasure in that.
Oh my God. Well, I'm from New Orleans, so you know the cooking is like it's within me. So I love cooking, like the Creole, the Cajun cuisine, you know. Here, I may have to show you how to cook one day, or like teach you a meal or something like that.
Yes.
We can do like a little cooking thing.
Yes, we will have you on the show. We will IG live it, and you can teach how to cook. Because I'm from Philly. We just like either go grab a slice of pizza, or we just get some delivery or something. We're lazy. I wish I was culturally from a background where we had cooking in us, because that's something I... okay, so the book is out. What kind of responses have you gotten? The fans must be so excited to have more access to you.
Yes, I mean, the best feeling about it is people who have read the book, they like it. And I think that that was something that it wasn't that I was concerned about it, but by me being so personal and being so vulnerable, like you never really know how people will take it.
Yeah.
So to have people read it and they like it and they relate to it, I think that that's what makes it even more than me, because to me now it has purpose.
Oh.
To me now my visibility may help someone, or someone they may relate to it, because I know at times how I felt like I was so alone.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, I'm just thankful for it. I'm so thankful for everything.
Yeah, purpose-driven life is the best kind of life. Amaya Scott, thank you so much. I'm going to definitely take you up on that, have you on, give me a little cooking. Good luck with the book.
I got you, Dr. Chris.
All right,
thank you
so
much.
Memoirs
of a Mermaid.
I
would love to be back.
Awesome. You have an awesome, awesome, awesome night. You're listening to Loveline on the new channel Q and radio.com, and we come back. We're going to be breaking down some DMs later in the show, but we're going to be talking about toxic monogamy. What does it mean? What does it look like? See you back in a few.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris.
On Channel Q.
Oh, we just sat down with Amaya Scott. She's a good one. I love meeting people in the industry that actually have a lot of care and compassion. So humble, so sweet. Memoirs of a Mermaid. Pick it up. I mean, talk about a book that honestly goes there and bears their soul author-wise. I mean, it's rare that we see something like that. She's a powerful example of someone who's been through a lot and comes out victorious and authentic. So pick up the book. Stunning read. Okay, so let's talk about some ridiculousness. this topic is fascinating. It pops itself up every now and then. Sex robots. People are worried that they're going to essentially kill all relationality and civilization. You know, the corrosion and loss of true intimacy. We're going to be okay, y'all. Sex robots provide a service. It is a minimal service. It is a time-limited service. Like, we're going to be okay. I can't tell you how many articles were popping up around this recently because they're very, very, very popular overseas. And they're quite realistic. You can design them on your own. They can carry out literally any sex act you could ever come up with. They can look, smell, sound realistic. But here's the kicker, y'all. There are important qualities that are literally needed neurologically and biologically that only a true human being can provide for us, that helps self-regulate us, helps us feel safe, but more importantly, actually gives us the intimacy needs that we have, touch and eye contact, that cannot be provided artificially. It just can't occur. Now, we know that because different forms of touch communicate different messages, right? You can lean on someone and it communicates nothing. You can rub someone a certain way and it communicates safety. Touch someone, rub them another way, it communicates eroticism. Those are things that are very unconscious. There's a consciousness to it, but the communication is quite unconscious, but yet it's there and it's powerful. I can sit next to a human being flying to the East Coast for 6 hours and my body's next to theirs, but we've built no intimacy, but yet we're touching and we're in close proximity, right? Because there's other factors that are required. Eye contact, intention, quality of that time together. Robots can't provide that. So although we're at a time where there's a nationwide decline in committed relationships, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, I'm on board with people leaving things that are toxic or problematic, wanting more for themselves, staying single longer, doing a little more casual dating, not committing right away, exploring other priorities. Like, that's not bad. But that's not because of sex robots. And sex robots aren't going to make it worse. Again, they provide an amazing function, especially for people that don't meet the market value and desirability-based, you know, qualities that our culture demands. Not everyone is highly social. Not everyone has access to partners or sexuality because of disability, mental health issues, living in a rural area, whatever it is. I'm glad they have these robots. But the decline of marriage is not due to sex robots. We do not have to panic, but I can't even tell you how many stories there are about it, how many articles being written, people weighing in on it, panicking, brothels being set up. Great. Have fun. There's a beauty in it, but we're going to be okay. Also wanted to call out another interesting topic. This is a segment where I'm just calling BS on everything. So this is another one that circulates every now and then. The health and capacity and competence of same-sex parenting. Now, the study after study after study after study after study shows that same-sex parents make phenomenal parents. Not only do they make phenomenal parents, they actually are better parents in some markers of social, academic, and psychological health of the children they bear. Lots of studies showing that they do better in school. That's awesome. They achieve better test results. I don't want that to be the foundational talking point because, you know, school's important, but there are other qualities that are more important. And same-sex parenting, their children tend to have higher rates of empathy, higher rates of emotional expression, and better forms of communication. Now, is that because they're coming from a minority parent who works harder? Possibly. Is that because they're coming from same-sex parents that have a deeper, different level of intimacy than opposite sex parents because of the opposite sex stigma and mystification? I don't know. But the point is that same-sex parents make as good, often better parents. And we need to remember that. It's a gift. All right. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, though, we'll be sliding into those DMs. You're listening to Loveline on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on channel Q.
All right, we're back. We got our question of the night up on our Loveline IG page. Tonight's question is about political differences. What do you allow? What do you do? I was talking to Jared Hill from Drop the Subject with that about that last night. It's a good topic. It's an important one. Anyway, it's our question of the night. Weigh in on that. Follow us. We'll be breaking that on down later in the show. And also, we'll be talking about toxic monogamy, a.k.a. emotional abuse. I'm talking a lot about it because it keeps coming up, and it's something that's very misunderstood. And a lot of you that are listening, you are in relationships, possibly doing to another that you claim to care about or having done to you by someone who claims to love you, some things that are very unhealthy that we need to knock it off about. But it is time to slide into those DMs. Sliding into DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world and we want y'all to explore it with confidence. Here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris, I've been with my girlfriend for a year and a half. When we met, she said that she wanted a serious relationship and potentially marriage. Oh, they always say that in the beginning, don't they? Over the course of our relationship, she brought up many times very subtly that I'm not good looking. Ooh. I never said anything because I wanted to make sure that she really meant it. And now I am sure she believes that I am not that good looking. However, the sex is great, and she always says that she's very fulfilled sexually. In terms of love, she says that she loves me and she cannot live without me. Now I'm confused and frustrated. Does she really love me? I'm scared that if I continue dating her, down the road she'll start cheating whenever she meets her type of guys. As a result of this, I trust her less, and I feel she might cheat with a good-looking guy, her type, if the opportunity comes. Should I leave her and go with someone to whom I think I'll be more vulnerable and more desired? It's an interesting question. Her telling you subtly or even overtly that you're not good-looking is not nice. I don't know why that's needed. We don't really need to share things like that, because what it does is it traumatizes us, as per your entire question. It now has you feeling as though she might leave you for someone. I don't believe that to be true, though. People can be committed in a good way and a bad way to all sorts of partners and relationships that are quite toxic or problematic or not what they're looking for. So let me just get that out of the way. But she says she loves you very much. Do you believe that she truly loves you? You say that sex is great. She says it's completely fulfilling. She said to you that she can't live without you. Not everyone cares about being with someone who's hyperattractive to them. Some people are really drawn to other components. We have interesting academic terms. Like, we have a term called sapiosexual, and that is supposed to be a term where someone is geared towards people that are intelligent and they're really aroused and desirous and attracted to people that are hyperintelligent, and that their quote unquote level of attraction or how good looking they are is not as important. And I think that's beautiful. So not everyone's driven by looks is my point. And if you're with someone who claims to love you, says they can't live without you, says the sex is fulfilling, and you feel that way about them, you're good. But I am concerned that she's constantly feeling the need to let you know that she doesn't think you're good looking. Like, that's actually mean and quite corrosive. So I would talk more about that. I would say your question should be less about, will she cheat on me and should I leave her? And more about, do you think it's good that I sit down and talk to her about that? And I'm telling you, yes, it is. And you should say to her, hey, you know what? I don't need to know that. That makes me not feel like I can trust you. And that should be the conversation you should have. So, oof. All right, here we go. Here's another one. Hey, Dr. Chris. So I had a question about confidence, not just body confidence, but just all over self-esteem and self-worth. What are some tips you give to people who struggle with comparing themselves to others? I never used to consider myself having low self-esteem. There are a lot of days I have Beyonce-level confidence. Oh, I like that. Believe me. But when the insecurities creep in, it's really bad. It's hard not to compare myself to other girls, whether it be on Instagram, coworkers, or acquaintances. Then, on the mental side, it's hard because sometimes I feel like other girls just float through life more effortlessly and don't have these anxieties. I've taken your advice and blocked pages and people that trigger me. But sometimes I feel the need to unblock them almost to force myself to see it, because I feel like I should be able to see another person and not have it affect how I feel about myself. I need to change up the way I think. Dr. Chris, tell me how. Tell me how. Well, first off, everyone has insecurities. I work in my private practice with some of the most wealthy people on the planet, some of the most successful people in their individual fields on the planet, and some of the people that we deemed culturally to be the most beautiful, attractive people on the planet. And they all sit in my office with the exact same struggles as the people who are none of those things. They want to be loved. They want to trust the person they're dating. They want to feel useful in the world. They want to like themselves. They have depression and anxiety and all the same issues. It's a great leveler. So just know that, first off, that everyone struggles with those things. And even Beyonce struggles with the things. Please believe she's looking at photos of herself, questioning how she looks, et cetera, et cetera. Having said that, I'm proud of you for blocking things that make you, you know, uncomfortable, trigger you. It's both. You know, there's going to be some things in the world we have to learn how to encounter, and then we have control over other things. And we're not always in the best state or mood to really bump into some of those things that make us very uncomfortable. I'm trying to get culture to get better so we don't even have to ever deal with that. But until we get there, you have to manage that a little bit. But honestly, my answer is this. it seems like you're doing the best you can and you're enjoying the days where you feel great, but we're all going to have the days where we don't. That has to be acceptable and okay. It's not about how do I get rid of it. It's about just learning to allow it and tolerate it and being kinder with yourself. That's part of being a human. You have to have those moments. So I don't want to give you tools to just never feel anything because that's just not realistic. It's about having those feelings, acknowledging they're there, and then turning yourself to the side and moving forward with your day and focusing on other things that are important and that need your attention. Just don't ruminate it. Don't get lost in it. Don't saturate yourself in it. Just, you know, sometimes we have to redirect, distract ourselves and move forward with it. Same with anxiety, depression. These things are going to happen. We're going to feel them. Culture, advertisements, it's all about, they're all trying to make us feel bad. So we just got to do the best we can. All right, sliding into DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore with confidence. When we come back, we're going to be talking about how to divorce-proof your marriage. You're listening to Loveline on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. 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 This is Loveline with Dr. Chris.
On channel Q.
That's right. Y'all can blame it on my juice too. All right, a question night is up on our Loveline IG page. The question is about political differences in dating. It's a big deal. We talked about it a little bit last night. We're going to talk about it more tonight. How do you manage that? How do you negotiate it? Where's the line? Some of us, we allow a little bit more of a gray area. Others, pretty black and white. Weigh in on that. Our Loveline IG page, we'll break that on down later in the show, as well as talking about how to divorce-proof your marriage. We've got a few tips for that. But right now, we're going to talk about something that keeps coming to my office and probably will forever. So, you know, culture, big, powerful socializer, whether you believe it or not, or you want to believe it or not, the shows you watch, the magazines you're reading, the books, songs you listen to, they reinforce a lot of problematic relational norms and values and expectations. And we get really comfortable with them. We think they're truths. And they fall under a heading, two different headings that are really important. One is we call a lot of them toxic monogamy, meaning the toxic forms that monogamy can take. Or another word you can use is emotional abuse. It's pretty punchy. It's real. Now, discussions like this are really about twofold. One, looking at yourself and realizing where you might be doing this, not to shame yourself, but to realize that's not okay. And if I claim to love someone and I want a healthy relationship, I need to stop doing that to them. Or it's the reverse. I actually technically want it to be both, but it can sometimes be, wow, my partner does that to me and I need to tell them to stop, that it's not okay, that it's not healthy, and set a boundary. And they keep doing it, that's when you got to leave, because it's emotional abuse, aka toxic forms of how we run monogamy sometimes. And these are things where people are like, oh, you're not allowed to do that? So some of them are more overt, others are less, and I keep seeing these frequently come in my office. I see them in, you know, scripted television shows, and we all nod our head and go along with it. And it's like, no, hold up. This actually isn't okay. This isn't normal. This isn't healthy. So the first one, and this one's quite gendered, hitting or slapping when someone says or does something you don't like. Now, we get really uncomfortable if we saw a guy in a movie or a sitcom walk in and hit his wife in the face with a newspaper. But I just literally saw it done the other day in a sitcom where the woman walked in, she's upset with something he did, and had a rolled up newspaper and hit him in the face, and everyone laughed. I'm like, that's physical abuse. That's not okay. It's not funny. That's abuse. That's assault. Like, let's not laugh like that's normal, even though it's a woman doing it to a man. Like, never okay. Abuse and violence are never okay. So I want everyone to know that, especially the male-identified listeners. Like, it's not okay for a female to hit you, period, ever, no matter what. Also, another big one is when your partner, husband, wife, it doesn't matter. I always use the word partner for everyone because all relationships are legitimized and should have the same acts of love and care. When your partner's telling you who you can be friends with, that's shocking to some people, but you decide who your friends are. You take into account your partner, husband, or wife's opinion, but you have a right to say, yeah, you know what? I'm sorry. This person's meaningful to me. I understand that you don't like them. They're my friend, though. You have a right to say that. It's okay to disappoint and let down your partner, but they don't get to tell you who your friends are. You have to decide that because this assumption is always that you're in a healthy relationship, in which case there's nothing inappropriate about your friendships. Therefore, they should all be able to exist, which swoops very powerfully into the next one, that you're allowed to have friends of the same gender you're attracted to. And that's shocking to some heterosexuals, that guys are allowed to have female friends. Females are allowed to have male friends in straight relationships. In gay relationships, it's not uncommon where gay men have male friends and date men, females that date women also have female friends. But in the heterosexual world, it's very common for some men or women to tell their partner, you can't have friends of the opposite sex. That's not healthy. We get to have friends of all genders. Because again, we get to have the friends that we choose. Because again, this is the assuming that we're all in healthy relationships and we're healthy adults and there's no reason to not trust each other. So we get to choose our friends of whatever gender we want. Also, feeling as though you have to spend every moment with your partner. I've said this before. It's okay to have boys' night where you're going out with your boys and you say to your plus one, your partner, hey, going out with my friends. I'll see you tomorrow or I'll see you when I get home. And they're not blowing your phone up while you're out the whole time asking who you're with, what are you doing? You tell them where you're going, what time you're going to be home, and that's that. And they lovingly give you a kiss and say, have fun. But you get to do things without them. And they don't get to punish you or make you feel bad for having done something without them. That's healthy. That's important. Please don't always spend time with your husband, wife, or partner. Go do things alone. Go do things with friends. That's called having a full, diverse, comprehensive life. Constantly being accused of cheating? That's a big one. Blowing up your phone, invading your privacy? That's the final landing point. Let's land with this one. If you've been married for 10 years with 5 zillion kids, owning a home, living together, whatever, you still get to have privacy. You still get to have privacy. And that's really shocking to some couples. That's right. All right. When we come back, we're going to be talking about how to divorce-proof your marriage. You're listening to Loveline on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris.
On Channel Q.
I'm not going to lie, that song needs to intro every segment of my show. We were literally having an astrological, numerological kiki during the break. Samantha here was hooking us all up with this app that rambles on and on and on and on, but tells you about your future. We got MEQ over there figuring out what's going on with the rest of her life thanks to this app. I'm going up next. If we get anything good, I'll share it with y'all because I know you're on the edges of your seat. Okay, so guess what? I love stuff like this. In China, they're doing the penis monologues. That's right. Just like the vagina monologues, they're now the penis monologues. Now, a little different, although inspired by, this is more fictitious in that they're actors, but they're acting out scripts and stories that the writer wrote based on, you know, truth, but the readers aren't telling their own stories. It'd be great to have a version of that. But basically, it's all about undoing toxic masculinity, really diving deeper into sex and gender. But I like the idea that it's male-centric, right? It's focused on males, by males, having conversations and levels of vulnerability that men don't typically have, especially not in public like that. So kind of cool and transformative. It does talk about and reflect on violence of men against women. It does look at promoting gender equality, but from a male perspective. So, you know, it's not, you know, those, how do you say, you know, misogynistic, sexist versions of male-centered storytelling. It's quite the opposite. So anyway, well, maybe we'll find something like that. I'd love to do something like that. So anyway, if someone's writing something like that, hit me up. I'll do it. I'm also trying to be a part of Broadway Bears. Have you guys heard of that one? It's a huge fundraiser in, I think, San Francisco and New York. Basically, they bring a bunch of celebrities together, specifically centered around Broadway performers. And it's basically a big show, hyper-sexual. They strip, they sing, but it's all a fundraiser. And our own Jay Rodriguez from The Morning Show is there. He does it every year. And he was like, dude, I'm getting into it next year. I was like, bring it on. My big debut, my big public jockstrap debut. It's going to be a road trip. We'll be doing the show live from Broadway Bears, raising money, stripping for a good cause. I think stripping for any cause is a good cause. All right. So beautiful segue into how to divorce-proof your marriage. It's all about the segues tonight, you know? Okay. So important because, you know, divorce rates on its highest, cheating rates at its highest. Not always bad, the divorce, but the cheating is always a bad solution to whatever the problem may be they're trying to solve. So there are some things you can do. Again, cheating and divorce have different causes, symptoms of a multitude of things, so there's no cure-all for everything. But let's just dive into some of the possibilities, right? One of them is keep your relationship erotic. A lot of people just move into the friendship piece, right? We're married. We live together. I don't have to keep romancing and courting you. They stop what we call the courtship cycle. You got to stay in it. Got to keep it romantic. Got to keep attracting your partner, no matter how long you've been with them. You got to keep flirting with them. You got to keep eroticizing them, right? Relationships are a verb. You're relationshipping or you're not. Keep sex available. Don't let it get de-eroticized. We do that. Don't make every night a blockbuster night. You start to make your plus one more of a roommate. Not good for longevity. Also, don't rely on your partner for everything. It's okay to outsource things. Some people flood their partners. That's also actually part of the de-romanticizing, de-eroticizing of a relationship is when you're turning to them for everything. They're not your friend. See, hear that. Your friends are your friends. Your partner has elements of that where, yeah, you're going to share your life with them. talk about your day, but they're not your friends. Your friends are your friends. This is your romantic sexual partner. So there should always be an acknowledgement or a threat of that. We literally try to get every need met by that one person. And that's actually not going to serve the relationship. So remember that. Also, when you're dating, this person doesn't meet every need. That's, again, why we have friends. They, you know, you can go to your friends for the intellectualism because the people you're dating aren't always the most intellectual. That's okay. They don't have to be. Or, you know, you're more outdoorsy and the people you're dating are more indoorsy. Okay, cool. Go rock climbing and skydiving with your friends. It's okay to have friends and do things with your friends, as we were talking about in the last segment. Partner doesn't have to be with you and do everything. I just know being out there in the dating world, one of the biggest things I'm so burnt out on is things like, this comes up in LA, I must love outdoors. I don't like the outdoors. I'm not outdoorsy. And I've had people be like, oh, that won't work. I'm like, no, it will. Go do that with other people in your life. Like, I don't have to do everything with you. And they're like, oh, and I'm like, yeah, see? It's going to be okay. You know what I mean? Outsource that stuff. Also, keep things fresh and fun. We kind of covered that one already. The general message, honestly, is also don't compare your relationship to other people's. Because, again, welcome to my office. Every relationship has a struggle and a conflict. And in fact, I wait for it and look for it. And I worry about couples that don't have that. Because someone's selling themselves out. Conflict is good because it's two separate people coming together. That's going to occur. It's how you manage it that really matters. But stop comparing yourself to other people. There's no such thing as like a perfect relationship. And don't try to have one, right? So it's kind of like you got to figure out what you need. And that's the other piece. Designer relationships. You guys have to be honest with what you need and the kind of style that's going to work best for you. There's no right style for everyone. In each relationship you're in, it's going to be maybe a little different. Allow that. Be flexible. Let your love evolve. You know, let it be what it be. But, you know, couples therapy too. I'm such a big fan of that. I offer that to couples, but it's okay to bring in another person to help you kind of problem solve some stuff. Because what it really comes down to, you can't divorce proof your relationship. All you can do is show up as the best partner you can be, do some of the work, and hope for the best. You know what I'm saying? All right. Anyway, we're going to be coming back with our question tonight. So there's still a few more minutes to go on our Loveline IG page and answer that. You're listening to Loveline on the new Channel Q and Radio.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right. We're back with our question of the night. Tonight's question is about politics. Where do you draw the line? What role does politics play in your life? How important is it with dating? Well, we got some good long answers. We got a lot of answers. It's great. Okay, here we go. Listener said, I'm open-minded, but not about to change my stance regarding human or women's rights. I dated people with different political views as me, and honestly, as long as they aren't straight up racist and homophobic, then I can sympathize and give them grace if they were raised a certain way politically, as long as they're willing to progress and change. That was so beautifully said. I'm pretty much on board with that. Got to give people grace. Got to give them space to grow, as long as they're not rooted in anti-women's rights values or homophobia, racism. Yeah, I mean, like, step it up. I love that. That's stunning. Someone else said, I just have a problem with extremists. If you lean so far right or left that you are unwilling to even have a healthy debate or be open-minded, then we wouldn't work. If you're just so stuck on what you believe because of how you were raised, then it's a huge turnoff no matter what side you're on. Think for yourself. I'm down with that. I'm pretty far left. I'm pretty radical. So I might frustrate you, but you know what? I'm not everyone's cup of tea. But I think that was well said. I agree with that. Extremes aren't usually very honest, right? There's not a lot of realism in that. Someone said, honestly, it was never a deal breaker for me until Trump. I think a lot of people feel that way. I'm a liberal and I've dated people that have not voted Democrat. But when Trump came along, now it's not just a vote for a political party. It's poor morals, judgment of character, and supporter of hate if you voted for him, and I will not date you. I agree. That's well said. I think a Trump administration has made some people more aware of politics, more political, and I agree with you. It's different now. I do fully agree with that. Well said. As far as dating and politics, where do you draw the line? What roles it play? Someone else said, date people who agree with your views or have their own, but understand yours. Okay. Someone else said, it's important to me. I want to date someone with similar worldviews and values. I pretty much agree with that too. It's just easier if they're on board with your stuff. You know what I mean? Someone else said, I want a life partner, not a debate partner. I haven't heard that yet. I want a life partner, not a debate partner. This is so much. Excuse me. My last ex was all about debating every single thing, no matter how insignificant. I need my partner and I to be on the same page for the majority of how we approach life issues. I like that. I want a life partner, not a debate partner. Someone else said moderately important, but I would never date a Trumper. Yeah, It's so fascinating. It's so fascinating. That is the great equalizer. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, we're going to answer some more of these. These are really great. And then we'll wrap it up with a DM. Still time to call in, though. 833-LOVE-001. 833-LOVE-001. Listen to Loveline on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline.
With Dr. Chris.
On channel Q.
All right. We're going back to some of the question of the night answers. These are good ones. They are, question of the night was about political impact on your relationship and how do you deal with politics. Someone said, as a black woman, I find that men that align a certain way politically don't swipe right on me. So I guess that's a plus. Yay me, LOL. Sometimes it is a blessing. Someone else said, I think people are too simplistic about politics these days. Supporting a particular party doesn't automatically make one sexist, racist, or homophobic. I actually don't agree with that, actually, at all. I wouldn't date anyone who is any of those things, but I would date someone who had differing ideas about how the economy ought to work, for example. Okay. So I said, it didn't used to matter to me. I was married to a Republican for 15 years and we did fine. Given the dire political environment at the moment, however, I have a very, very hard time justifying a Republican in my life. Amen to that. We're hearing a lot of that tonight. Someone else said about how politics play a role in their relationship. I don't typically mesh well with people who have super strong opinions on either side. Okay, we heard another one of these. Even though I dislike the president, it's still a turnoff when people put stuff like Trump supporters swipe left in their profile. There's a certain abrasiveness to it that is unsettling to me. Interesting. Someone else said depends on the views and how they're held. If it's something super extreme, then it's obviously a deal breaker, but that's limited to things like racist, sexist, or extremist views. If she's very political and not willing to accept my view, at least as far as to understand why I hold it, I don't expect her to agree with me at all, then that's also a problem. Okay. Some differences are absolutely fine. Someone said, as far as political views with dating, I'm very well informed, politically active, independent in a red state. Okay. My whole family's Republican. But if I had to be a D or an R, I'd choose D. I went on a date last week with a Republican politician. Politics were discussed and we were fine. I guess it depends on how extreme the Republican is, where they sit. Some people said I respect some differences. It's interesting. The Trump thing keeps coming up and it sounds like everyone's trying to be as accommodating as they can, but they're just some deal breakers. Yeah. Whew. I don't know. We'll talk more about it. It's a good one. It's a triggering topic. But guess what, y'all? It's time to slide into those DMs. Bloops.
I don't have it. Wait.
Hold on. Sound effects coming. Sliding into the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore it with confidence. Here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris. Not quite sure what to do in my current situation. My boyfriend of 2.5 years is holding on to a grudge from our fourth date. Woof, that's years. Years long. We went out. Some guy tried to harass us. I stepped in between them and he has never forgiven me. He felt that I took away his chance to be a man. I've offered several times for us to break up, makes him angrier. We've been to counseling. He feels he wasn't given the space to get over it properly, he says. During this time, we've had issues with him texting and flirting with other women online. I confronted him, and although we are actively working that out, he hasn't had a date with anyone else. The fact that he got such a thrill from flirting and pushing boundaries makes me feel betrayed. Went to counseling, and the issue of the fourth date keeps popping up. I've apologized. I'm not sure what to do. Well, these are separate issues. His, his toxic masculinity, the idea that if someone's harassing you and he didn't get a chance to fight them or that you somehow diffused it and got in the way, that takes away from being a man. I mean, that's one issue. And then the other one is, why is he texting and flirting with other women and sending intimate photos? I'm assuming you're monogamous and that's why that's an issue. Two separate issues. And if he's tying them together, that's a bigger problem. If he's saying I'm entitled to do that or somehow that's acceptable because you took away my right to be a man. But honestly, it sounds like around the part of him feeling like you took away his right to be a man, that's something he needs to do individually. That's some individual work. You can't help him with that. I'm sad to hear that he lives a certain way in the world where his masculinity is tied to being aggressive or violent, because that's honestly what I'm hearing. I'm glad you stepped in. It looks like that diffused it and that handled it. But it looks like if you're 2 years in and he's still holding on to something from your fourth date, it might also be a scapegoat, meaning there's bigger issues that he doesn't want to deal with and he's just blaming on that situation from 2 years ago. I'm not buying that. I'm just not. That was so impactful, that one moment on the fourth date 2 years ago, that he still can't let it go. I'm just not buying it. Something else going on. So try to get to the root of what's going on, but let him know nonetheless. Stop flirting with other people. It's not okay. It's not cool. Period. End of story. But yeah, he needs to do some individual work on that. Slide into the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world and we want you all to explore with confidence. Listening to Loveline on the new Channel Q, that is our show. We will be back tomorrow night. It's going to be an awesome show. Thanks for hanging out with me tonight. You all have an awesome, awesome night, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.